gospel lesson today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And you can find this on page 157 in your pew Bible. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be the law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, you saw on the marquee that the scripture title for today is Ordinary to Extraordinary. That theme runs throughout this scripture. Paul is telling us in his very legalistic way, some people might say it's a little tortured, he's coming around and around and around to the point, but he's telling us that you and I need to realize that we're ordinary people. And as ordinary people, our nature, some might say, you know, people are naturally good and they only learn bad behaviors. I think that flies in the face of actual human experience. It certainly flies in the face of Scripture. For it is in each and every one of us that there's that sinful nature. Paul says again and again, the good that I would do, that I don't do. The evil that I would not do, that I do. Those are the ordinary. The extraordinary would be for us to not do those things that we know that we should not do. But that has to come from some extraordinary source. You and I... You don't have to raise your hands on this one because I know we'd all be sticking our hands up. Just like last week, how many of you is without sin? There's always a joker. There's always... Was that a question or was... How many of you are in need of the grace of God? Because that grace of God looks past the sins that we've done, sees us through the blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that He shed on that cross for our salvation. And He sees what? He sees the extraordinary person, that extraordinary person that the Holy Spirit can transform and make us new, to regenerate us in the communion. As we receive those elements, each and every time that we receive those elements, we remember what Christ said and did that night in the upper room with His disciples. And even that night, Peter said, when Jesus said, "You'll deny me three times before the cock crows," and Peter said, "Oh no, even to the death I would not deny you." And just a few short hours later, Peter's outside where Jesus is being tried by the Sanhedrin. And he does what? He denies Him three times. Peter could just as easily say what Paul said, the good that I would do, that I don't do. Well, this human condition, how do we become this extraordinary person, this entity that's able to overcome our sinful nature? We do it by repeatedly, often, as often as we do this, to remember who paid the price for us, who we belong to, who we are. Are we Satan's and the earth's, or are we Christ's and God's? They should be able to see that by our actions, but they don't always work out the way we would like. As ordinary people, we're faced with a thing called an inadequacy. There's the inadequacy of human knowledge. William Barclay says, if to know the right thing was to do it, life would be easy. But knowledge by itself does not make man good. There's a difference between a morality and a religion. A morality is knowledge of a code. We know the code, the Ten Commandments. The first four are how we are to live in relationship with God. Love thy God, as Jesus paraphrased it. Love thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and thy strength. And the second, no less than that, to love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet, you're not going to steal, you're not going to murder. So those Ten Commandments are boiled down into this code. And a morality is knowledge of the code, but that does not get us out of there. What we need is this religion. And I'm not saying any religion. I'm not saying just there are people that do things repetitively and they call that a religion. But a religion, or as a theology, a pursuit of God, who God is, not who we want God to be. Oh, well, that's just too hard. I just don't understand that part. We're Sodom and Gomorrah, everybody's toast or a pillar of salt. I just don't understand. I can't get my arms around that. I can't get my mind around that. I can't get my heart around that when I look at the image of Jesus. Well, you know what? Religion is knowledge of a person. For us, religion is a knowledge of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, ascended, and coming back. There's the inadequacy of human knowledge and also the inadequacy of our resolution. What we will to do, to resolve to do a thing, is very far from doing it. We all know what the right thing is because we have the code, but what do we end up doing? Human nature is a weakness of the will. Will comes up against opposition or difficulties and fails. Peter had all the will that he expressed that evening in that upper room. Lord, even unto death I will not deny you. We know what happens. We also know on that beach, Jesus says to Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Care and tend for my sheep and my lambs. There's also an inadequacy of that thing that doctors like to call on, and that's a diagnostic or a diagnosis. Paul knew clearly what was wrong. He knew what was wrong, but was unable to put it right. You and I can know what's wrong because we have the morality, we have the code. But can we put it right? Can we set it right? Can we make it better? Can we make it right? No, we cannot. Jesus is the one person who not only knows what is going on in our lives, but can also put the wrong to right. He not only knows what we're doing wrong in our lives. How many of you think you can put one over on Christ. How many of you think, oh, he won't know that? Oh, that sin is hidden away in a dark, dark room behind it, ultra, ultra secret lax, and Jesus cannot know what was in my heart. If he knows the very hairs on your head, if he knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb, what makes you think he didn't see or know what you were thinking or what you were doing? Oh, that hurts. Oh, that hurts. But the beauty of Christ is he does not offer criticism. He does not condemn. Jesus said, I come to do the Father's will. And the Father's will is that no one given to me by the Father shall be lost. They shall be saved. Jesus says, I come into the world not to condemn it, but that through me the world will be saved. Jesus is not here to be critical and criticize. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to save. Share his blessing, his grace, and his love. In this means of grace, in this act of communion for us, at this table with our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the Comforter that God sent to us, that Jesus sent. Are you stuck in the ordinary? Are you willing to stay in the ordinary? Do you want to stay in the ordinary? Or do you want to strive for? Do you want to seek for? Do you want to live into the extraordinary that God has planned for each and every one of you? You know, if you're 7 or 8 years old, who knows what the future holds? You're 9, 7. Okay, 7 or 8. 7 or 9. And even as old as you are, God has a plan for you. And you get to make choices. Those are going to be wonderful choices. I'm here to tell you. They're going to be wonderful choices. But you get to make those choices. If you turn your hymnal now,